Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye, the Lord in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here on this beautiful Saturday morning, afternoon, in Jesus' name, wherever you are listening to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show at. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name, amen. We praise God for each and every one of you. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name, amen. We have a phenomenal topic on today. This is part two of our series. Amen. I told you last week that we were going to be teaching a series on taking your place in the kingdom of God. Amen. And God said, I want you to teach this series. God let me know that he wanted me to teach this series in Jesus' name. Amen. But before we jump into the topic, I want to say, I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network. Amen. Apostle Cook. Amen. God bless you. Giving honor to my pastor and my first lady, Pastor William Tuggle, and first lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to all of the Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Amen. And before we jump into this, I want to say, since it is Mother's Day weekend, I want to give honor to all of the mothers. Happy Mother's Day. I want to give honor to my wife. Amen. Honey, I love you. And I thank God for you being the mother of my three children. In Jesus' name, you are a great mother, a great wife, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are a blessing to me because you are a blessing to our children, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have a special announcement on today, and this is throughout the United States. And this has nothing to do with anything spiritual, but it does have something to do with the natural. On today, the United States Postal Service is doing their annual canned food drive. This is to help the homeless for Thanksgiving, the ones that are in need of a meal for Thanksgiving. They are doing their annual canned food drive today. If your mail carrier has not come by yet, and this is nationwide. This is around the country, around the United States. Make sure you donate perishable items such as canned goods and other perishable items to your local postal station or your mailman. Give them to your mail carrier, and they will take them back to those perishable items back to the station. Or if you want to volunteer, you can also volunteer to help at your local station on today. I know for a fact my father, who is retired from the post office, but he does still work for that cause every year. So he goes back and he works, and I'm going to be doing that today after I leave the radio station on today. We're going to go by and, you know, help in Jesus' name. So make sure you donate, amen, in Jesus' name. Donate your perishable items, amen. We have a guest in the studio in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. I pray that you enjoy the show on today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to have something to say, you can at the time that we do have people have something to say. You can have something to say in Jesus' name. Amen. But on today, we are talking about taking your place in the kingdom. Amen. Taking your place in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to give a refresh or a review of what we went over last week. And I'm going to start in Psalms 145, verses 9 through 13. This is what we read last week. This is our main scripture. Amen. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majestic of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endureth throughout all generations. When we look at the kingdom of God, it is an everlasting kingdom. It is a royal kingdom. It is a kingdom that has power. It is a kingdom that holds many mansions. It is a kingdom that God holds in his hands. It is an unlimited power source for his saints. And the reason why I say unlimited, because God's power is unlimited. God's power can move mountains, as we read in the Word of God. It can move mountains. It can speak things into existence. It can destroy the very foundation of Satan's kingdom. It can move in our minds. It can make us do things that we would never think of doing. It can give us the motivation to move in areas that we would never think to move in. That is the power of the kingdom of God. Now, God has given us kingdom authority. He has given us in this kingdom of God, he has given us kingdom mindset, and he has given us kingdom authority. Amen. But it comes through Jesus Christ to give us that kingdom mindset and that kingdom authority. It comes through Jesus Christ. We were once worthy of the kingdom. When man was first created, we were worthy of the kingdom. We were worthy of the kingdom. But when man sinned, it made us not fit for the kingdom. Amen. But God, out of his love, gave us an invitation to come back unto the kingdom of God. Come back into the kingdomship that God has ordained from the very beginning. God gave us that a kingdomship when he gave us the invitation. That invitation was founded in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave everybody that invitation to come back unto him, because sin gave us separation from our kingdomship. Amen. And our kingdom authority. Now, what is that invitation? The invitation is that we must come unto holiness. We must come unto holiness. The invitation is when he died. We all know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That was the invitation. When he died, that gave us access to receive our kingdomship. But he gave us a decree. He gave us a kingdom decree in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he gave us right to the tree of life, but we had to take the decree. We had to follow the decree as God gave it to Peter. Amen. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as the many as the Lord thy God shall call. This was the invitation. This was the decree. We must be accepting of that decree. We must follow that decree, and we must do what God told us to do to receive our place in the kingdom. Now, what is that place? That place is holiness. That place, as we said last week, that place is holiness, righteousness, and salvation. The salvation came under Acts 2 and 38. That's salvation, receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, his spirit dwelling on the inside of us. When we accept that invitation and we accept salvation, amen, when we accept salvation, we have accepted the invitation. This is the place that we need to be into. And once we accept the invitation, we say, God, everything about me will change. Everything about me will be holy. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus, be holy for what? I am holy. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 8. It says, be holy for what? I am holy. Amen. This is the place that we need to be in. And First Peter, matter of fact, we'll go to First Peter. Let's go to First Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And let's see what this says in here. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. See, that's why I say sometimes that the Old Testament, some people try to do away with the Old Testament, but you can't do away with the Old Testament and just read the New Testament, because the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ what? Revealed. The Old Testament goes in alongside with the New Testament. Watch this. I said in the book of Leviticus chapter 21, verse 8, it talked about God saying, be holy for I am holy. Now watch this. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, God repeated himself from the book of Leviticus. He said, be holy for I am holy. And then he repeated himself in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, because it is written, be holy, I am holy. We have to be like God to be in the kingdom of God. We have to take on holiness. Holiness then leads to righteousness. Why do we need holiness and why do we need holiness? Because it leads to righteousness. Why do we need righteousness? Because we came into this world. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. We came into this world a sinner. You didn't come into this world with the Holy Ghost. You did not come into this world. Yes, you might have came into this world as a baby and as a innocent. My father told me when I got married, before I got married, he told me and my wife, and he specifically was talking to me. He said, "You will be a father going into your marriage." Because I have my two oldest are my stepsons. They're my sons, but they have a father. Help bring them into this world. And he said, those children to you are innocent bystanders. They're innocent bystanders. They're coming into this thing. They're coming into this marriage. They're being pushed into this. So they're innocent bystanders. The same thing happened to us. When we were brought into this world in sin, we were innocent bystanders. We didn't do anything wrong. You did not do anything wrong. Only thing you had to be born into sin. You just had to be born. You did nothing wrong. It was Adam that did it. It was Adam that took us out of, that separated us from the kingdomship that the Lord had ordained for us for our life at the beginning. You did nothing wrong. You might say, well, Brother Adam, why, since I did nothing wrong, why do I have to suffer? Because man, sin came unto the world. Sin came into the world, and since man sinned, the bloodline of mankind was tainted with sin. So you didn't have to do anything wrong to be born in sin. You just had to be born. But you were an innocent bystander. So that's why Jesus died, so that you might have life. So that I might have life. Amen. This is why Jesus came and died. This is the reason. Jesus came and died for us because we were innocent bystanders in the spirit. Amen. And since we were innocent bystanders, now Jesus said, since they're innocent bystanders, they didn't do anything wrong, I'm going to die for them. I'm going to take their place because in the Bible it says the wages of sin is death. You and I were meant for death, but God took our place. God said, I'm going to move them aside and I'm going to take their place. They didn't do anything wrong. So I'm not going to allow them to die for their sins because I'm going to die for their sins because they're innocent bystanders. They didn't do anything wrong. They just had to be born. But because of the fall of Adam, I'm not going to charge them for Adam's shortcomings. I'm going to put them back in the place in the kingdom, and I'm going to leave them. I'm going to, you know, depart from the earth. They're not going to see me in the natural, but I'm going to leave the invitation here. I'm going to die for their sins, and then I'm going to depart back into heaven, but I'm going to come on the day of Pentecost. He left the invitation for us to come back unto the kingdom, for us to take our place in the kingdom. Amen. And he's going to leave instructions when he leaves the invitation and we decide to take on the, when we decide to take the invitation and take the decree that God has set, he's going to leave instructions for us to stay in the kingdom. Now watch this. Before the invitation was given, it had to be an outline to get, it had to be an outline to establish the invitation. Somewhere the invitation had to be presented. Who was going? The Lord had that all in mind. Now watch this. This is what the Lord gave me. Just to set the tone here. Just to set the tone. The Lord, now, a lot of people
talk about Matthew 28:19, right? Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? Okay, now watch this. I'm going to give you three scriptures that lead to the invitation of Acts 2 and 38. And one of them is Matthew 28:19. Okay? Now, a lot of preachers, and this is still taking your place in the kingdom, because we're leading up to taking our place, getting to the place. How do we get to the place? Well, I'm going to show you. This is how the invitation got started. This is how God set up the invitation. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to show you. Because a lot of people think that you're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's not true. That's really, really not true. You're not supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but you are supposed to be baptized in Jesus' name. So let me set the tone here. In Matthew chapter 16, let's go there real quick. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm Matthew chapter number 16, starting at verse number 16. And it reads, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You might say, well, what does this scripture have to do with me taking my place in the kingdom? I'm going to show you. If we go back to Acts 2 and 38, it was Peter. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them. Peter said this. Peter preached the message. Peter said that you should repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He gave Peter the keys. What keys? The keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom of God. The invitation. He gave Peter the invitation. He just said what Peter was talking about in Acts 2 and 38. He was telling them about the invitation that God told him. He said, we read it right there, that, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He was talking, when he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. He was telling Peter, you're going to preach on the day of Pentecost. You're going to preach salvation upon this rock, through your mouth. I'm going to use you. He was talking about the body of Peter when he said upon this rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The church was the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. That's when the church began. That's when the church began, on the day of Pentecost. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? That means that the gates of hell have been trying to prevail against this word, have been trying to prevail against preaching the apostles' doctrine, but it has not prevailed against them, because it's over 2,000 years later. We in 2023, and we're still talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are still talking about the baptism in Jesus' name. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is what we're talking about. Now, watch this. Let's go to, now, in this verse, Jesus, if we read further up, before we got to 16 through 19, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he asked the question. Jesus asked the question. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And he was talking to his disciples. And some of the disciples, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. And then he asked the question, and he said unto them, but who say I am? He was asking the question again, who do you say that I am? So he was talking to his disciples. But then Peter, being Peter, because Peter, before Peter received the Holy Ghost, Peter was a bold person. Peter answered Jesus' question. And this is where we get to verse 16 through 19. Because Peter answered the question and said, he said unto them, well, Peter said in verse 16, he answered the question. He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus wasn't surprised, because Jesus already knew what Peter was going to say, but he took Peter's answer and said, wait a minute, up on this rock. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, which means man has not told you this. So you know what I'm going to do, Peter? Because of your boldness, I'm going to allow you to be the mouthpiece for salvation. I'm going to allow you to be the mouthpiece for salvation. He singled Peter out because of Peter's boldness. Then, watch this. In Matthew 28:19, he went back and started talking to his disciples again. He gave Peter a charge, and he gave his disciples a charge in Matthew 28:19. I told you, I'm going to give you three scriptures that led up to. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 28:19 now, and let's look at this. This is still taking your place in the kingdom. Matthew 28:19. This is where he was talking to his disciples. He was talking straight directly to his disciples. Matthew 28:19. This is before he descended back up into heaven. He said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was giving a direct command to his disciples to teach in his name. He said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What is the name of the Father? Jesus. Don't believe me? Let's go to St. John. Let's go to St. John. Uh-huh. St. John, John chapter 1. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Father, as we know, is God, right? Amen. Now, it says right here in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I want you to look at the end of that verse. The Word was God. Now, we know that the Father is God, right? Amen. Now, let's go over to verse 14. In the same chapter, John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. Now watch this. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of what? The Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Word was made flesh. What was that flesh? Jesus. Jesus was the only one. So when you say the Word was made flesh, it shows us right there that Jesus was the Word. The Word was made flesh. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Father. Boom, right there. Now, we need to find out who the Son is. Matthew 1 and 21 lets us know who the Son is. Amen? Amen. It lets us know who the Son is. Amen? And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. That's the Son. And we know who the Holy Ghost is. It's Jesus. He said he shall send the Holy Ghost in my name. Amen. The Holy Ghost shall come in Jesus' name. That's why Peter said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost. That's God's Spirit on the inside of us. He. Who is he? Greater is he that is in us. He. Who is he? Jesus. He. The Holy Ghost. Jesus. Jesus' Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Amen? So this Spirit that we need to take on, this salvation that we need to take on, amen, was founded, and I'm about to take you there. Acts chapter 1. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Amen, because I said I had three scriptures. I just covered Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19, and then Matthew 28:19. Now let's go over to Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they shall not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. Now, we just read that the Father is Jesus. Wait for the promise of himself. The promise. The promise. The promise. Which saith he, ye have heard of me. That's Jesus talking. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, what is that many days hence? The day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. He said, John truly does baptize with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Now, John said that indeed I baptize you with water, but there's one that come in, the one that come after me that will baptize you with fire, with the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost. What is he? What was John talking about? John was talking about Jesus. Jesus giving us the invitation to take our place in the kingdom. Amen? To take our place in the kingdom. We have to take our place in the kingdom. Now watch this. In verse number 6, it says, and when they were, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, whence thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put his own power, has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Come on now. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Unto who? Unto Jesus. Ye shall talk about, that's what we read in Psalms 145, verses 9 through 13. That's where we read that at. That we should talk about the power. That we shall talk about the glory and majestic kingdom. The power of the Holy Ghost will be able to allow us to live, to talk about the power that the kingdom of God has, that the kingdom of God can save, that the kingdom of God can heal, that the kingdom of God can deliver. We can talk about it because we are living it, because we are living it. We are living, that's why the Bible says we are living in epistles to be read by what? All men. I love this thing here. We are living epistles to be read by all men. Why are we living epistles to be read by all men? We are to testify about the goodness of God. We are to testify about the salvation of God. We are to testify about, come on here. Thank you, Jesus. We are to talk about what God has done for us. Not just talk about the cars and the clothes and the money that he blessed us with. That's the icing on the cake. We're talking about the main core, the cake part. The salvation of God. The kingdom of heaven. That when I'm going through a problem, I can say, I got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is a keeper. I can say that when he can keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. When I'm going through a battle, I don't have to lose my mind like everybody else that don't have the Holy Ghost. I can say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I can say that because I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I got holiness on the inside of me. I got salvation on the inside of me. I got righteousness on the inside of me. That's why I can say what I say. Because I got the peace that surpasses all understanding. I got peace. I got the Holy Ghost. That's what the greater is. That's what keeps me. That's what helps me take my place in the kingdom. That's what helped me keep my place in the kingdom of God. The place is holiness. It helps me live holy. The Bible, as we read, be holy for I am holy. The Holy Ghost helps me be holy. It helps me live holiness. Holiness is not a duty. It is a lifestyle. And I said this before. I said this yesterday. I do not have a religion. I am not a religious person. I'm not. I don't have a religion. And I'm not a religious person. But what I do have is salvation. I have salvation because salvation was given unto man. Not religion. Religion was not given unto man. By God. Salvation was given unto man. By God. Not religion. So I don't have religion. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had religion. Religion is a duty. It's a duty. It's something that you do because mama did it, or daddy did it, or our mama's name was on the roll. And I just do it just to say I go to church every Sunday. I go to Bible class. I do this and I do that. No, that's a duty. But when you have salvation, it is a lifestyle. Your life is changed. Everything about you changes. And you have entered into a place, the secret place. This is a lifestyle change. It is a lifestyle. It helps me keep my place in the kingdom. When people come to me with a negative stuff and they want me to act up in front of them, they want me to cuss them out and all this stuff, the Holy Ghost helps me keep my peace. When storms of life are raging in my life, the Bible, hallelujah, when Jesus was on that boat with his disciples and his disciples got fearful, he was at the bottom of a boat asleep in peace. And they went to go get Jesus. And when he came unto the top of that boat and he saw the storms of life, he saw the storm raging, what did he do? He said, he didn't get fearful. Jesus said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. When the storms of life are raging in your life, you can sit there and calmly say, peace, be still. When you have a mountain in the middle of your way, you're trying to get to the next destination of your life, but you got a mountain right in front of you that's bigger than you. You can say, mountain, be thou removed. You ain't got to fear it. You ain't got to fear the mountain. You can say, mountain, be thou removed. I got power on the inside of me because greater works than these shall ye do, the Bible says. You can speak unto the mountain and it be thou removed. Why? Because I got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. And the power of the Holy Ghost says, I can speak things as not as though they were. I got power. Why? Where do I get my power from? I get my power from the kingdom. I got kingdom authority. I got kingdom authority. I got kingdomship. Once I come into this great place, the place where God wants me to be. Amen. This is not what I studied, but this is what God has given. Amen. This is what God has given me to tell the people. This kingdomship is a great thing. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be in the kingdomship. It's a great thing to be in the kingdom of God, to have your place in the kingdom of God, to have your holiness. Holiness and righteousness in the kingdom of God is a great thing. Not everybody has it. Not everybody has it. I'm going to tell you that now. Now, everybody has an invitation to it, but not everybody has it. Not everybody wants it. Amen. Some people think that they know it, and some people think that they have it, but they really don't have it. We have to be engulfed with the kingdomship of God. When you are in the place where God has you, when you get in that place, taking your place in the kingdom, you have benefits galore, not just natural benefits, but spiritual benefits as well. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you an example. The prodigal son, when he was in his father's house, he had everything. He had everything. He had everything he could ever want. But he was underneath. Everything that he needed and everything that he wanted was underneath the tutelage of his father. Everything he needed was under his father's house. But when he, but when his mind became wondrous, and he said, I want my inheritance now. He asked for his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. And sometimes Jesus will give you what you ask for, even though sometimes he says, wait a minute, you don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need to stand. Look, there are some people that are not in the in the kingdom because they will not accept it. They will only accept before them, what's in front of their natural eyes. They're not accepting it. They, look, you don't need to stay in sin. There are some people that are in sin that God has dealt with them and said, come out of that. Come out of that. Come unto the place. Come unto the, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Come. Come and see the salvation. Come to my father's house. He's already said in his word that in my father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where you are, that where I am, you may be also. We have people that are in a carnal mindset. Some people try to serve God in a carnal mindset, and they, come on. Jesus. They have a carnal mindset on the way they want to get to God, the way they want to come into the kingdom. That you can't come in into the kingdom any kind of way. Just like you couldn't go before the Queen of England, you can't come before the King of England any kind of way. You can't go before God any kind of way. The high priest couldn't do it. What makes you think we can do it? The high priest had to have, had to be in good standings with God before he became into the temple, and before he became, before he become, before he in the presence of the holiest of holies. He had to be in good standings with God. Otherwise, he couldn't enter in. And we have to be in the place where God wants us to be to enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm not just talking about heaven, but in that secret place while we wait for his coming. We can't just serve God any kind of way, because God ain't accepting just anything. He's not just accepting anything. Now watch this. The devil himself is a con artist. He's a con artist. He is trying to take our place in the kingdom away from people. Amen? He's trying to take it away. Now watch this. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. Because I want you to understand this. He, like I said, the devil's a con artist. He tries to con you out of what you really, really need in your life. He tries to con you out of your stuff. He tries to. But we're going to show the plans of the enemy right now. We're going to bring it to light today. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, it didn't say he was a roaring lion, it said, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He tries to take away your place. That's why he offers things of this world. He tries to offer you the money. There are many people out there in Hollywood that are selling their souls. Literally selling their souls for fame and fortune. But I heard the word of God say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the kingdomship that we have to walk in. This is the standard that we must walk in. This is it. This is the only way. Because people try to get to God in other ways. You can't do it. The Bible lets me know that if we try to come in any other way, we come in as a thief or a robber. Amen. If we try to come in any other way, we come in like a thief or a robber. You cannot get to God doing it your way. You got to do it the way the Bible says. Because if you do it any kind of way, if you do it any other kind of way, you're coming in as a thief or a robber. And that's the Bible. That's not from Adam. That's the Bible. That's God speaking. You cannot do this any kind of way. You can't come in any kind of way. Amen. We must do it the Bible way or no way. We must do it the Bible way or no way. Amen. So we have to look at this. As we just saw, he comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we must take our place back in the kingdom and help others find their way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm getting ready to open the floor up to anybody that has any words that they might want to speak on or anything. Amen. But Matthew chapter 11, let's go to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. I want to push this kind of hard because we must understand that we are not just supposed to receive our place and just sit there and twiddle our thumbs. Uh-oh. We are not supposed to just sit there and be like, oh, I got mine, so you get yours. It don't work that way. We're supposed to lead those to Christ. In Acts 1 and 8, it says, it lets us know that we are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Amen. In Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. You shall be witnesses. Amen. So this is what this is talking about. We can't just get ours and then just sit there in the church and just twiddle our thumbs. Amen. So this is what we're going to do. This is what we have to do. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. Amen. This is why we cannot just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. Amen. And it reads, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. Now watch this. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. This is why we cannot sit around and twiddle our thumbs. This is why we can't twiddle our thumbs. Now, Let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Go over there real quick, and let's see what Isaiah has to say about the matter. Isaiah chapter 5. Because we just saw that the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Why are we taking it by force? Because there's souls out there. There's souls that need to be preached to. There's people that we need to tell that we need to talk to. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. And this is the reason why we need to tell them. This is the reason why. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, starting at verse 13, it says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes dried up with thorns. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their promise, and he that rejoiceth shall descend unto it." Amen. What this is saying here is that people out here, there are people out here in the world that have no knowledge of their place in the kingdom. And it's up to us to go and tell them. There are people in captivity, in spiritual captivity. They have gone into spiritual captivity. They are still in the bed of sin that they're in, and they don't know. Some don't know. Some don't know. But it is up to us, because hell, this is why I said last week, there are people in hell now. Some may not believe it, but this verse right here in verse 14, it says, "Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Why is hell opening up her mouth without measure? Because people are going to hell left and right every day. Because either everybody will have a chance at salvation. Everybody will have a chance. Anybody that leaves this earth, has had a chance to receive salvation. It's not like they have not been taught it. The people that have gone to hell now, the reason why they're in hell is because they resisted. They resisted the call unto salvation. They resisted it. They kicked against the pricks. The Bible says that it's hard to kick against the pricks. And look, let me tell you something. I used to think that God used to send people to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. You send yourself. You send yourself. When you resist against the decree that God has laid out for your life, such as salvation, such as holiness, such as righteousness, you are resisting and you are kicking against the pricks. If you were once saved and you're a backslider and you are backslidden and you choose to stay in that backslidden state, you are the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It's going to be hard for you. It's going to be hard for you. And if you die in sin, if a person dies in sin, yes. That's why hell enlarges itself daily. This is what it says. Hell enlarged herself. Hell has enlarged it. This is why we don't need to sit around This is why we just don't need to be sitting around in the church and twiddling our thumbs. This is why we don't need to be sitting around in the church wondering whose ministry is bigger. Ain't no time for that. We got souls to go out there and witness to. We got souls to go out there and get. Amen. They're souls. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Amen. We must understand that we will be tried on every hand, but we have victory in Jesus. We do. We have victory in Jesus. Every victory that we will have is in Jesus. Every victory that you have, whether you saved or unsaved, it came from the Lord. There is an exception. There is an exception. Say you got something. You got something, and you used malicious intent to get it. Now that wasn't from the Lord. That blessing was not from the Lord. That blessing was from the devil. Amen. That blessing was given by the devil. And let me tell you something. Just as well as the Lord blesses, the devil blesses too. But the difference between the Lord blessing you and the devil blessing you is the difference is holiness and righteousness will come. There is an inheritance that comes with Jesus. There is something that when the devil blesses you, there's destruction waiting on you at the end. Just look at Hollywood, for example. Most of these stars, whether they be a singer, whatever, actor, whatever, they get all of this stuff and they look blessed and they look like their life is just all peachy key, but at the end of it, they're depressed. They own drugs. And they go so far, and then a lot of them, they commit suicide. They in drug rehab. And there's nothing, I'm not saying that they're lower than anybody, but what I'm saying is the devil has given them what they wanted. The ones that sold their souls. The devil has given them what they wanted. Just like he did with Jesus. See, he tried to get Jesus in that area. Amen. When he tested Jesus, he tested us. But some people bow down before the devil. Well, if you give me this, I'll sell my soul. The devil is a lie. We got to do like Jesus did. Satan, get thee behind me. When he told Jesus to turn these stones to bread, he used the word. The Lord himself, he used his own word against the devil. When he told him to turn them stones to bread, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We have to use the word. That's that using that kingdom authority. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you, just like he did with Jesus. Jesus used the word, and the devil fled. The devil fled. That's what resisting the devil. We do a lot of resisting God while we're resisting the Lord Jesus Christ when he's here to help us, but we won't. But a lot of people don't want to resist the devil who is actually hurting you. It don't make no sense. You know what? I'm this is amazing. I'm going to ask for the ones that are on. If you have a comment at this time, you can give it in Jesus' name. You can give it in Jesus' name. If you have a comment, you can give it. If you have, amen. We know that some of the, we have a guest in the studio in Jesus' name. If you want to leave a comment at this time, you can in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you all. But as we see here, we see that our victory lies in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Our victories belong to the Lord. And I want to go to a scripture in Psalms 30, Psalms number 30, just to show you our victory belongs, our victories come through Jesus. Psalms 30, verse number 5, and it says, "For his anger endure, for his anger endure, but a moment. In his favor is life." And I like this part. This is the victory that we talk about. This is the victory I'm talking about in Jesus. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." This is the victory. You might go through your tests and trials of life, but there is joy that comes. You might go through the storms of life, but the sun, but those clouds, those dark clouds will be removed once. And the sun shall shine again. You're not going to always be in that place. There's an old song that says, "Trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. These are the victories that we have in Jesus. Amen. Now, let's carry this thing further. Amen. I want to show you this right here. I said earlier that we have to take our place in the kingdom of God. And some of us that have our place in the kingdom of God, we have to keep our place in the kingdom of God. Amen. So how do we fight to take our place and keep our place in the kingdom of God? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. I'm going to show you something in 2 Corinthians because, like I said earlier, there's a lot of people that try to fight the enemy with a carnal mindset and carnal weapons, such as, example, people that deal with depression. They try to, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with going to see somebody for help. I'm not knocking it. But they try to use other avenues such as drugs. They try to use other avenues such as alcohol. They try to use other avenues such as lust for a man or a woman. They try to use sex as a way out of their problem. If they feel by themselves, they try to use keeping people around them, but it won't help you. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to show you how to fight. The Bible shows us how to fight. The Bible is a life book. So I'm gonna give you scripture on how to fight. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse number 4. This is how we fight. Amen. And it reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means you can't, you're not going to find, you can't use the weapon of drugs. You can't use the weapon of the alcohol to try to come out of the place that you're in, that stronghold that you're in, because all of these different spirits that we deal with, because they ain't nothing but spirits, whether because we just like to call sickness and disease and spirits. No, I'm talking about you dealing with an issue of dealing with lust. That's a spirit. You dealing with the issue of lying, that's a spirit. You dealing with the issue of stealing, that's a spirit. You dealing with the somebody, and we see it all on the news every single, almost every day, almost every week here in Indianapolis. I'm seeing on the news somebody done got killed, tragically, by gun violence or some type of violence. That's a spirit. That is a spirit. And it's a demonic spirit. Amen? And they try to use other avenues of, they try to use these avenues to come out of that spirit, but you have to, you cannot use a demonic, because when you use the drugs and you become addicted to the drug, that's a spirit too. You can't use demonic spirits to try to overcome other demonic spirits. You can't do it. But you have to use the Spirit of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse number 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is what we need to do. This is how we fight. We use the weapons of the Spirit. Let me give you some weapons on how to do this. Let's go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews. All right, amen. The book of Hebrews. Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6. Let me give you some weapons on how to. Let me give you some ammunition. Let me give you some ammunition. Amen. First weapon that we have is the weapon of faith. The weapon of faith is a powerful, powerful weapon. Faith is believing God that He will bring you out. Now, watch this. We need faith to be able to not only come out of our situation, but to take our place in the kingdom. Why do we need faith to take our place in the kingdom? It says it right here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, you can't seek Him without faith. That is a weapon. Believing God, believing who He is. That's your first weapon. You have to believe the Word of God. Amen? That's your first weapon. That's your first weapon. Your first weapon is faith. In the armor of God, it says taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, believing. Amen. That's the first weapon. Your second weapon is in. Let's go over to Matthew, and I'm almost done here. But Matthew chapter, I'm almost done for today, and we're going to continue this series. I said it was going to be a series. I didn't know how long the series was going to be, but we're going to Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Amen. Here goes two other weapons that you can use. Amen. And it reads, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it reads, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That's another two weapons. Prayer and fasting are weapons of ammunition. Those are your spiritual weapons. Faith, prayer, and fasting. Faith, prayer, and fasting can get you places that you would never think you would go, to get you out of situations. If you have a big decision in your life to make, prayer is communication with God. Do you know what prayer? Prayer opens up other doors. Prayer of intercession, prayer for people in your life, communication with God, not just about yourself, but about things concerning you, about people concerning you. Prayer is a mighty weapon. Going into intercessory prayer, prayer of warfare. Intercessory prayer is like prayer of warfare. Going into warfare for other people, you are not spiritual warfare. It is communication with God, but it is a fight against the enemy. On the day of Pentecost, he talked about speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. There are two reasons why you need to speak in tongues. One, number one is that so that you'll know that the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. And number two is so that you can have the tongues to pray in your heavenly language. Uh-oh. What do you mean to pray in my heavenly language? When we pray, and I'm about to break this down and I'm about to end. When we pray to God, it is not always expedient and it is not always wise to pray in English. It's not always wise to do that. You might say, well, why is it not wise to always pray in English? Because it's not wise to pray in English because it's not always wise to pray in English because just because, yes, the Lord hears you, but when you pray in English, the devil hears you too. And you might say, well, I don't speak English. I speak Spanish. The devil hears you. That's why it's good to pray in your heavenly language. That goes for any other language that there is. When you pray in your heavenly language, speaking in tongues, when you pray in tongues, the devil does not understand what you are communicating to God. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, to be able to pray in your heavenly language. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Spirit will make intercession for you. When the Spirit makes intercession for you, when you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you will make intercession. What is intercession? It will pray for you. You'll start praying for people and things that you don't know nothing about because you're in the Spirit. The Spirit starts interceding. The Spirit starts praying then. The Spirit of God starts praying. Amen. And let's real quick, let's talk about the fasting. Now, I've heard of people saying, I'm going to do a Daniel's fast. No such thing. That was not a fast. Hear me today. When you hear people say, I'm going to do a Daniel's fast, that was not a fast. And I'm going to show you. When the difference between the so-called Daniel's fast and Jesus fasting. Jesus didn't drink nor eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything. That was a fast. That's a fast. Because why? Because he crucified, when in fasting, you are crucifying your flesh. You were telling your flesh, no, we ain't going to do this today. I'm going to put you on the back burner. I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead me. It teaches you how to be in tune with the Spirit of God. This is taking your place in the kingdom. Amen. Amen. That's what fasting does for us. Amen. That's what fasting does. So I just went over three of them: faith, prayer, and fasting. Next week, we're going to go into the other weapons that we have, such as praise, worship, and giving. Amen? And then we're going to go into what spirit we're supposed to have in having the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit. Come on. This is a lot in this series. Amen? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And also, we're going to get into what mindset we're supposed to have. When we're in the kingdom of God, what are we supposed to have? Our normal mindset that we came into the world with? Are we supposed to have a kingdom mindset? We're supposed to have a kingdom mindset. But we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to dive into all that next week. Amen. God bless you. I hope you got something out of this. In Jesus' name, I pray that you have a very, very blessed weekend. To all of the mothers, I salute you and say happy Mother's Day. God bless you. I thank God for each and every mother. I want to say happy Mother's Day. Before I leave off the air, I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mother, to both of my mothers, in Jesus' name. Both of my mothers, I love you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you being my mother, my mothers, in Jesus' name. And also a special happy Mother's Day. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Pastor Dorothy Mac Gordon, happy Mother's Day in Jesus' name. She was my spiritual mother, so I thank God for her in Jesus' name. Even though she's going on to be with the Lord, I still give her honor on today in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you in Jesus' name.